Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Perry Big Lucker 200 in style.
Oh, Sam Kerr!
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
With Liam and Caleb, and I don't even think we've had an interview this year, so I think that's a bit of a lie of an intro.
Come on, Ben.
Well, I don't know.
We interviewed Sports Desk of last year. Name's completely forgot my head, but he was our soccer expert a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. So we kind of had an interview, didn't we?
We'll claim it as an interview. But yes. Great to be in the studio again with you this morning, Liam. And as I've been saying to my friends, this is the best time of the year because there's just so much sport going on. Mm. So let's not waste any time. Let's just jump straight into
Let's just jump straight into the AFLW.
Straight into the AFLW because...
And what amount? It went from, what, three teams to five?
That's incredible.
Wow.
Just when you thought you had the season worked out and everyone was saying, oh, well, the Dogs will probably face off against Brisbane or Melbourne, they throw a curveball in GWS.
And Adelaide.
Produced one of the coolest upsets of the season. I was, as a Doggies fan, I didn't even mind watching GWS get up because it was outstanding football.
It was.
And it really is. This AFL Women's second season has proven to be absolutely outstanding in terms of unpredictability and just evenness in the comp.
Yes. Well, so like we said before, there were five teams that can win. So there's five different scenarios. Let's kick things off. You can kick things off with your
Okay, so for the Western Bulldogs to make the grand final, it's pretty easy. They just have to win. They've really just got to treat it like a prelim final. But if they lose, they'll have to sweat on either Adelaide, on both Adelaide and the Giants losing, with the Giants playing
Brisbane
and Adelaide are playing Collingwood, which I wouldn't say that's too far out of the picture.
No.
I think Collingwood have been making a very nice charge late, and then they'd also need Brisbane to win by a small margin, because if Brisbane win by a large margin, then they'll get into the final.
Melbourne, who are playing the Bulldogs, which is a massive game, so you kind of expect Melbourne and Doggies aren't going to play off, but they've got to defeat the Bulldogs, of course, with a grand final position. If not, so this is the only chance they can have to play the Doggies, the Demons will be relying on Adelaide and GWS to lose again and Brisbane to win by a small margin.
Right. GWS, who are sitting in third, as we said, had an outstanding win over the Dogs, would need to win against Brisbane, which they're playing at home in Blacktown, which is very, very likely. Along with Adelaide losing to the Western Bulldogs, which will then see the Giants leapfrogging the loser of Western Bulldogs Melbourne into the grand final. A draw will see, it'll be percentages, and then it'll be very interesting.
I think Giants are probably the best position because the Lions
team
are struggling.
Yep.
Giants are flying, and all they've got to do is win, and they're in the grand final, really.
Yep. Pretty much.
Now you've got the Adelaide, the reigning premiers, looking to go back-to-back. They have to beat Collingwood, pretty much what they did last year, the same situation a bit. But they have to rely on GWS losing, and they've got to rely on the Doggies Melbourne game.
Yeah. Again, a draw will make it all the more confusing.
Sage.
And the final team that is very unlikely to make the finals, but... is still a mathematical possibility, is Brisbane, who are 4 points behind the Dogs. They're on 12 points, but they need to beat the Giants away, which is in Blacktown, as I said. They need Adelaide to lose, Western Bulldogs to defeat Melbourne by a fair margin to overtake the Demons on percentage and reach the grand final. So, unlikely that Brisbane will get there, but anything's possible. This season's been so unpredictable, I wouldn't rule it out.
Also this week, there's also the Battle of the Spoon. Collingwood's the only team that has nothing to play for.
Yeah.
I said this on Monday. Frio and Carlton are playing for the wooden spoon. One team absolutely deserves the wooden spoon and has been in atrocious form the entire year, apart from their two wins. One team, it's kind of surprising that they are playing for the wooden spoon in Fremantle, who just lost to Brisbane and just lost to Adelaide. Played phenomenally against Adelaide. and two good wins against Melbourne and Collingwood.
I can't understand Freo. They look strong all year, and unfortunately, I just think they've been unlucky. They've lost some close games. Mm. If anything, I think they would look like one of the... They could have easily slotted into that top four, but I think that's a testament to how even this season has been.
Well, it was only a few weeks ago that I said Freo... I think I've cursed them there. The commentator's cursed.
I didn't want to bring it up, but...
No, but yeah, the commentator's cursed.
What's been wrong with Carlton this year, do you think? The injury to Bree Davey, or is it the recruiting maybe went wrong? Too defensive?
That kind of brings in both. I think the recruiting went wrong because they're too defensive. Having two key forwards and being such a defensive team doesn't work. And I think Vessio and Harris both scored again on the weekend. But you expected more of that all season.
Yeah, I agree. I think too defensive. They were probably thrown off a bit at the start of the season when they won that first game against Collingwood. And then there was that memoir that was released by Stephen Hocking that said, you guys have to stop playing defensively, which probably would have thrown a spanner in their works because I imagine that their whole preseason would have been focused around playing defensive football. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do this offseason, whether they go shotgun again and try and get in some players and get rid of other players. But very interesting time down at Icon Park.
Yes. What do you think of the... Maybe they're just struggling to see because of the lights. Maybe that's their biggest issue.
Yeah, fair enough.
What do you think of this as a Doggy supporter? If Carney could be going up to, across to North Melbourne during the off-season.
Well, so Carney plays for Melbourne Uni in the VFL, VFL Women, and I'm pretty sure that Melbourne Uni have an affiliation with North Melbourne. So it would make sense, but if Carney left the Dogs, I would be heartbroken. I think she has been hands down her best performer this year. She stood up in the absence of Katie Brennan, and in my totally biased opinion, I think she might be a chance to win the MVP
for the season. Yep.
She's just been super consistent, racks up the disposals, and has so many kicks. Like, it's not just handballs, it's effective kicks, and I think that's what makes her stand out.
Well, I had Carney, so on my personal voting, I know we do our sim voting, but I do personal voting of every round, is doing the best and fairest. I have Carney at the moment in equal fourth place on seven votes. And when we get to our voting, I've got actually Courtney Gum in first.
Really?
Yeah, she's
she was outstanding on the weekend, wasn't she?
I do agree, but maybe the men and the women could be the same and no one wants to go to North Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. They could have all this money and no one would want to go to them. You talked a bit about Icon Park and the lights being turned off. It was announced maybe yesterday or the day before that Icon Park is probably going to be where they play the grand final.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on this? Do you think it's a good destination? Do you reckon they should have had Etihad Stadium?
I think they should have had Etihad Stadium, definitely. But if they want to do... I'm gonna talk in wrestling terms for a second. But if they want to push Icon Park as the MCG of the women's, one, they need a redevelopment. Two, they need working lights. And by all accounts, the field's in good nick, but they need the two. The host of the grand final, like the host of the Metricon last year.
Yeah.
Should have been at the Gabba, but they're too busy preparing for the Ashes in,
It's another year where the minor premier won't be playing with a home ground advantage. So, I mean, if the Dogs were minor premiers, the idea of playing at Witten Oval is probably unfeasible. I think they could only really fit 10,000-15,000 there. And similarly with Melbourne, if they won, playing at Casey Fields would be somewhat underwhelming.
That's probably why Icon Park's the best fit.
So I think Icon Park would be nice, but I'm a little bit in the same boat as you. I think Etihad Stadium, I'd like to see AFL back the fans and say the fans will show up at Etihad and fill out the stadium. The only thing, I'm pretty sure that there is a game on that Saturday. So AFL will be back by that weekend. And I couldn't tell you who's playing, but I'm pretty sure that there's a game. Would you warm to the idea of a double header sort of scenario?
I think that's what they have to do anyways, really.
Mm.
It's Brisbane are playing St Kilda.
Brisbane are playing St Kilda?
Yeah, and that's at 3:35 PM.
Okay.
What time was the grand final last year? I think it was the same time as the
Similar
men's.
Time, yeah.
So that's probably why they can't be played at Etihad, and the MCG's as well is booked.
Well, I am of the belief that I understand that by having the women play before the men's, it's not a great look. I think it it suggests it goes back to reserves then seniors, so it's suggesting that women's football is inferior. But I think it's fantastic for crowds. I think you would get a lot of fans going and then sticking around for both games. It would be a fantastic day out for the fans.
Well, it doesn't even need to be before. It could be after.
Correct, yeah. It could be a night game.
I just think the AFL do need to work with getting, what, two teams next year and plus four teams the year after.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves only Essendon, Hawthorn, Port and Sydney about a team.
Yeah.
They would have to get at least, soon they'll have to get 16 rounds out of the whole competition, like eight. And
so double headers, probably inevitable.
Mm.
And doubling up with the boys. I think it's, I wouldn't mind seeing it. You see it with the VFL women's, they played their grand final just before the TAC Cup, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. It was good to go watch both.
Oh, it's a great, actually, I find that fantastic. I went a few years ago and I saw the TAC Cup and the VFL grand final. It's good to see all three in a row.
And in my opinion, St Kilda versus Brisbane, I hope Ben's not listening as a Brisbane fan, executive producer, but I reckon there'd be more interest, for me at least, in the AFL women's grand final than St Kilda and Brisbane.
Oh, that's a mouth-watering clash there.
I couldn't think of a... I don't think both teams are going to have the best seasons, but that's another topic. We're going to be talking all about the AFL season, previewing it next week.
Yes,
so make sure
it'll be a massive show.
Make sure you tune in. Let's move on. I wanted to talk about Courtney Gumm. You mentioned her before.
Oh, yes. I see it in the run sheet and it just makes you laugh. Can we talk about Courtney Gumm for a minute? It's like, I don't know if it's like you're
so
we're
start
talking
this top
third
watch,
person.
1 minute.
I don't know if it's like a third person view there, which is an odd thing to say, but yes, go on.
So, Recruit of the Year, is that a fair call? She was picked up as a 36-year-old. So, forget about AFL mature age recruits coming in at 26 years old. Courtney Gumm's 36, has jumped into GWS and has probably been the personification of GWS's rapid rise to success.
Well, she's been fantastic, hence why she's at the top of my the AFLW Brownlow list, the Gumm Award.
The Gumm Award. Well, it kind of moves naturally into the votes that I was going to give because Courtney Gumm took out my three votes. She had an incredible 23 disposals and 20 of them were contested. She had 10 clearances, which was... So I should say 20 contested disposals, possessions, pardon me, is a AFL women's record.
Plus 12 stoppage first possessions.
Wow.
Which is not, and also, 10 clearances as well, tied with the AFLW record.
Boom.
That is a phenomenal effort against the Doggies, hence why they probably won.
And not to mention she had a goal as well, which was pretty significant.
Always handy kick
big
snag,
time.
I've got to agree, she's also got my three votes.
Fair enough.
Who has your two?
My two went to Collingwood forward Christina Bernardi, 3 goals, 7 tackles and 16 disposals. I thought she was outstanding. Stiff not to give it to Mo Hope, who's found some form late, but those 16 disposals from Christina Bernardi.
Yeah, I think Bernardi set the tone of the game.
What about yourself?
Mine is the Dana Hooker.
Mm-hmm.
In a losing effort, 20 disposals, 2 goals. I think she was by far the player of the match.
Nice.
Especially she got Freer probably into the game in the third quarter when they looked down and out at the start. She's been phenomenal this season. Coming off her best defense last year as an unknown, she's definitely known now, especially in Perth. She's up there with the likes of Fife as a celebrity. She has, paparazzi around her now.
I wouldn't go that far, but maybe in a few years' time. And number one, I gave it to Elise O'Day. Again, another GWS player. But I watched the game and I was pretty blown away by GWS. So 3 goals, 7 tackles and 19 disposals.
You mean Melbourne?
Melbourne? Sorry, I don't know why I said GWS. Elise O'Day, 3 goals, 7 tackles, and 19 disposals. Who'd you give your one to?
First off, I was thinking of giving it to Elise O'Day, but then I feel like she stopped. Like, I think Melbourne and Elise O'Day all stopped after halftime. Hence why that's why she didn't feature in my vote.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave my one vote to Krista Bernardi.
Fair enough, yeah.
The exact same as why you gave her two.
Yeah.
So your votes are worth more than mine.
Yeah, fair enough. Before we leave the AFL women's segment, I thought we would just say who we predict to see in the finals. Do you see it being a Western Bulldogs Melbourne final or
I think Western Bulldogs Melbourne's probably the last one, but mm-hmm. I will have to go GWS Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
I know as a Bulldogs fan you probably don't want to play Adelaide in the final. That never ends up well for you.
Yeah.
So we'll go GWS Melbourne. Yeah. You know, you might get...
GWS
you,
Melbourne?
No, sorry, GWS Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, yeah.
If you play Adelaide, you know, Lachlan might kick a goal and they'll call the point and you end up losing.
While she's celebrating.
Yeah.
I think Western Bulldogs will beat Melbourne this weekend if they get Katie Brennan back. And I reckon it'll be Western Bulldogs and Adelaide in the final.
Ooh.
And I am shaking in my boots as I say that. Let's mention that next week, we are going to be doing a bumper AFL season preview because the first game will be obviously on Thursday night and Sports Desk on Fridays, which normally previews the weekend of sport, will miss the Carlton Richmond game. Yeah. So we're going to have our
massive,
huge show.
Massive show.
Make sure you tune in. It's going to be very fun. There's going to be a lot to talk about. We're going to be previewing every single AFL club, where we see them finishing this year. So make sure, this time next week you tune in.
You're going to be absolutely massive. But let's start off. A few local clubs seem to impress. Gold Coast was definitely one of them.
Yep. Went through undefeated.
Yep. Granted, if Brisbane could kick straight.
Yeah, true.
But I think it's always good to have a winning culture under a new coach. So they've won 2-for-2 under Stuart Drew. They've got a hard start. I can see him winning round one against North Melbourne and against Carlton, I think, in round two. Then they travel to Perth.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure they should stay in Perth the entire week. I don't see any point of them going back because they're playing Freo in Perth as a home game and then West Coast in the away game.
Yeah.
I just seem to say, why just stay in Perth the entire week? No point going back. So they've got a tough start this season. And granted, if they didn't have Tom Lynch to play for, I would say this year would be a good year just to get everything right. But yeah, unfortunately, they have a player to try to re-sign.
Yeah. Another team that was interesting that went through undefeated was Carlton.
Yes, they finally scored over 100 points. Too bad it doesn't count.
Doesn't count, yes. did you like the idea of Paddy Cripps up in the forward line? Do you think it's going to be successful?
Oh, yep, 100%. You know, that's the new thing now. The midfielders turn forwards.
Yep.
And Paddy Cripps, I know Bont on the weekend kicked 3 goals.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
And he's a big unit as well. Charlie Kernow is another one who I don't know what he does, but...
we were having this conversation before.
Is he a tall forward?
We don't know where he plays, yeah.
All I know is there's a lot of hype around him.
Huge hype surrounding Charlie Kernow.
Like, he is the next Gary Ablett.
Dermy Burton, they were saying in the Herald Sun this morning.
Burton needs a bit more swagger to be Dermy. And then once he retires, he has to do a lot of talking about himself.
Correct.
And absolutely terrible commentary. But that's just a personal opinion. Yeah.
But then there are a few teams that were... not as surprising, let's say. Richmond winning both games quite comfortably, and...
You know, you win the AFL Premiership, you win the JRT Premiership. Too bad they did not win the AFLX. They've done an absolute clean sweep.
North Melbourne and Brisbane both losing both games with percentages sitting around that 50 mark. Going to be pretty tough seasons, I think, for both clubs.
St Kilda also lost both games.
Yeah, yep. Geelong lost both games, which is a bit of a doozy. I had Geelong up there at this top, but I suppose without the Gary Ablett and obviously Dangerfield suffering an injury, a bit different. But
I do believe with Ablett, too many cooks in the kitchen, but we'll get to that next week.
We will.
So St Kilda as well, we'll get to that again next week, but St Kilda's... a lot of hype around them for a team that I don't think is that good.
I don't know. I saw a very funny tweet over the weekend of Ed Sheeran holding a St Kilda jersey, and the caption was, "This might just be the only St Kilda player that I recognise."
Yeah.
After all their retirements over the off season, it is a very fresh looking St Kilda list. While I can name a couple of St Kilda players, I thought it was very true that they are a bit of an unknown this year. There is a little bit of a hype surrounding them, but I don't know whether that's just misplaced hope, that pre-season hope that most teams carry.
Another team has a lot of hope around Collingwood. I know they defeated the Doggies Moi.
Yeah.
But, again, I just don't seem improved at all since last season.
Yeah, it's a very... I'm not quite sure about Collingwood. I just don't think that they have done enough to change their game plan.
I think Buckley... I think I said this a few weeks ago, I believe Buckley's he's a coach you look at and think, what star has he created?
Yeah, none.
And none. No, there's no superstar, and he's gone to the recycle too many times.
Correct.
Trying to get a recycle place too many times. It could work.
Well, I think that's why he's putting so much faith and emphasis on Jordan Degoe, because he was drafted under Buckley, pick 6, I think it was.
Yep.
They've also drafted Scharenberg. He was a first rounder. And he's been hindered with a lot of injuries.
And same with Freeman, now he's at St Kilda.
Nate Freeman's another one at St Kilda. So there is a lot of pressure on Degoe to perform. Otherwise, Nathan Buckley hasn't really drafted and developed any of these young players very well.
Well, Degoe's a part of the big list that aren't playing round one anyway. Just Goldsack did his ACL.
Correct.
Wells is out again. Elliot, Fasolo, Degoe, all these players. Grundy's lucky to be playing.
Yeah, why do you say that?
The suspension he got.
One player that I will say that Buckley has developed, and I was very impressed with him over the weekend, was Mason Cox. I thought he could be a player that steps it up this year. Kicked a bag, I think it was four goals, yeah. And just looked like he was clunking massive marks.
Not the best hole we saw this weekend. So Coleman Betts, it's already been called off because there's an outright favourite.
I know where you're going with this. Yep. Jack Watts.
Sixth goal straight as well.
Incredible.
He did really well.
I had a text from one of my Melbourne friends who said it was like watching your ex-girlfriend then just join like become a supermodel or start dating some bachelor. Because Jack Watts, boy, didn't he show potential at Melbourne? And
Melbourne didn't want to let him, but Melbourne fans didn't want him to go.
He was a bit of like, because he was so maligned at Melbourne, when he did perform, all the Melbourne fans jumped on him and said, "We've always loved you."
Oh, wow. Fans are the worst, aren't they? Jack Watts kicked six goals. But where would he fit in the Port's forward line with Charlie Dixon, Westhoff?
It's a very tall forward line, isn't it?
Yes. But I think Westhoff can play midfield as well. Mm. So not midfield, more wing. More kind of Nick Riewoldt-like. So Watts can become a third tall, which I think suits him better than being the main tall.
Yep.
And if you play together, unfortunately, I think the game's getting a lot smaller. So when it comes to Ruckman, I know that Freo picked up a Ruckman, and I believe he should be trying to play more of a forward.
Yep.
Because at the moment, he's third behind Sandilands and Darcy, but once Sandilands leave, he'll be second behind Darcy.
Yeah.
And to keep his career there, he should probably play forward. But we'll actually get to Freo now, because there's one player that has taken the AFL by storm. He is
the next Michael.
The next Matthew.
Matthew, pardon me.
Yeah, Michael. Matthew.
Pardon me.
Yes, I say the best Matthew since Pavlidge over there. Matthew Tabernacle, someone who I've always been a fan of. He's, apart from Zach Dawson, he has been the whipping boy. Zach Dawson's also someone I've always been a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
That's a completely different thing there. But this is the Matthew Tabernacle timeline. I've got this here. So when he got drafted as a rookie, he was a rookie draft as well. So it wasn't one of those high draft forwards. He was just a rookie. He debuted against St Kilda. Did okay. No one expected much. 14, 15 and 16, he was the next Pav. It was for his next key forward. Our Premiership glory was on him.
Mm-hmm.
He played okay. Always had good moments. Then 2017 came along and they're like, yeah, he's gone. He's going to get traded. He's going to get delisted. Even I said, I think he should go to Richmond. I think Richmond could use someone like him. And now he's an All-Australian contender.
According to all Freo fans around Australia. We have had a text on 04475-191-70 from Scott. Scott's asked the question, do you think Libba has found form again, or does it reflect the state of the rest of the Bulldogs midfield? And Scott, I reckon you've hit the nail on the head. Libba has absolutely ripped up the JLT, but I don't think you can look past the fact that he's got Lin Jong back in the guts working with him. Toby McLean also spending a lot more time in the middle. And Jackson Trengove palmed the ball down to him. Must be a big help. So exciting times for the Doggies midfield. And yeah, I think you're spot on.
Actually, what do you think of the tweet yesterday that had Beveridge in the list of coaches that could get sacked?
I thought it was satire. I thought they were taking the piss. But
you know those things that there's no such thing as a dumb question. Well, that was absolutely dumb. But back to Tabernacle, as a Freo player, I think what he's doing now is much better than him being a key forward, because his best games are when he is up the ground, because he can grab a lot of the ball. I think he got the Nabrani Star nomination when he got 21 touches.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's the second ruck. He's shooting and can play forward because he can always mark the ball.
Yeah.
He can always grab the ball, but they were used to playing deep forward. Now he's playing up the ground. He's got more time to get the ball, better as a ruck, better as a mark. I think hopefully, in a personal and a non-personal, because you want every player. There's every player apart from one, to me, I want to succeed. And of course, you want to see him succeed. Another player is Jake Romero.
Yeah, played really, really well.
Looks like the knee's not bothering him at all.
I think that's always been the case with Jaeger. Whenever he plays, he blows he blows everyone away and then unfortunately just gets hampered by constant knee injuries. I would love to see him rip it up. Another player from the Hawks that really impressed me was Jarman Impey. I thought he has slotted in really, really nicely into the Hawks midfield. And I think he'll have a very prosperous year with the Hawks.
Yes. I saw something early today about how the Hawks could go win the flagship. I think they're a bit off the mark there.
I agree. I think they have... last year will be a little bit of a blessing in disguise for them. They were forced to play some of their young players, and now with all their defenders coming back this year, they're gonna have a lot more freedom and depth. But I don't think they're ready to push for the grand final yet. They could finish seventh or eighth.
I think they're in the top. They could finish eighth in the top eight. And Tom Mitchell, I think he needs to have a big season. And I was absolutely livid when he made All Australian.
Yeah.
Because what he did in 2017 was the same thing Lachie Neale did in 2016.
Okay.
And Lachie Neale did not make All Australian because of the same reason.
Melbourne bias, is that what you're saying?
No. I'll never say Melbourne bias. I hate people saying Melbourne bias as much as sometimes I think it could be true. But I just think it was a bad call for him not, you know, when you break the record of the most disposed in the season. I think,
true.
And you win the club's best and fairest, you deserve to make All Australian.
Fair call. Yep. We're going to wrap this one up. But as we said before, text us through who caught your eye from your team over the JLT. The number's 04475-19170. And, just let us know who maybe you think might slot into the round one calculations. I know for the Dogs, I reckon it'll probably be young defender Aaron Norton. Intercept Mark King.
Let's keep this going for 1 second.
Okay. Go.
So we've got, I do agree with that, Aaron Norton, and I think, you know, you got the fog for the Adelaide. If Walker can't get up, the fog
the man-child.
He is an absolute mountain.
We were talking off air about him. He is 2 years younger than me, 1999. His stats measure up at 193 centimetres and 94 kilos, and he's just pure beast.
He is. and for Frio, I've got Andrew Bradshaw and rookie Bailey Banfield. And, of course, you got Paddy Dow, Cam Rayner, and Luke Davis-Uniac, as well as
that'll slot
Jefferson
straight in, I think,
and,
into round one.
Oh, what's the guy from St Kilda's name that's really...
Oh, Hunter Clark?
Hunter Clark, that's it, yes.
And even Nick Caulfield, I think, might be a little chance to slot in for St Kilda.
Yes.
Let's jump into the A-League, because there's been some very funny news. Funny for some, probably incredibly frustrating for some fans, that the... RBB, which is the fan club for Western Sydney Wanderers, the leader of that has copped a 12-month ban for leading the chants that we can't say on air, but it was FFFA, if you can read into that, expletive FFA. Do you reckon it's fair that he's copped a 12-month suspension? Or do you reckon it just seems like a bit of a mum telling off their kid for swearing?
Companies don't like to be looked at in a bad light.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure if any leader of, just say, the Carlton Cheer Squad said F the AFL, he probably would get the same suspension. I think it's fair.
I disagree. I reckon that
really? If
someone said F the AFL, I think the AFL would almost be in a position to just be like, oh, okay, that's... Yeah. I
just think it's, you know, for business, I think it's a bad look for both business standpoints, banning someone as well as someone there chanting F the FFA. So it's an awkward situation. I think 12 months is a bit too hefty.
Well, what about this? If, let's say, let's compare this to the AFL, as I like to do, because that's how I gauge everything. But imagine if it was Joffa that was getting a 12-month ban because he said F the AFL. Could you imagine the uproar that would have on someone that's so iconic to the AFL, as this man is the leader of the RBB, the biggest and most famous fan club of the whole A-League? Would then we be up in arms?
What? I think something like this happened in Perth, actually.
Right.
Perth Scorchers. A supporter there got banned. But he got banned for something. I think he got banned for a lot of inappropriate comments and that. It's a very tough situation to be
in. I reckon it's unfair. I think it's petty. I think it's very childish by the A-League. They had an opportunity to just be like, okay, that's below us. If you want to say FFA, that's fine. But yeah, I don't think they should ban him for 12 months.
I think it's a bad look for someone to come out and say F, especially someone in, I'm going to quotation marks, power.
Yes.
to say something bad about your, you know, what they're coming to watch.
Yeah.
I know that's what social media is for.
But I think there's a lot more going on than just something that they're going to watch. I think the FFA and their fans have been at constant loggerheads all season. Interesting, though, this was the part I was talking about that had me laughing was, so the FFA, there's obviously been a lot of problems with the flares getting into the games, and they want to make the game more family friendly, and flares are obviously illegal in the sporting arenas. It's a summer sport, so a flare in the heat is going to cause a lot of damage and could potentially start a fire. But the FFA is set to supply A-League active supporter groups with legal pyrotechnics. And when I first read this, I thought it was satire. I genuinely thought that this was someone, the Batuta Advocate, posting a satirical article, only, purely because all I imagined was a bunch of kids with their vape pens sitting in the stands having coloured vapes, 12-year-old kids, and they'd come home. Could you imagine that? All I thought of smoke machines at games, and they get pretty hot with their dry ice. Kids coming back from the soccer stinking like they've just been out to the nightclubs.
Oh, that would be terrible. I just think it's... What was your friend's last week, a few weeks ago?
James called in, yeah.
Yes, James said soccer in Australia still has the hooligan look about it. People still look at soccer and be like, they're hooligans, a bunch of hooligans, and it's unfair. They're trying to make it a classier sport, but I feel like they do go the wrong way about it sometimes.
Yep.
Like the ban for 12 months, I do think it's unfair. The length,
mm-hmm.
Also I think it's not on the FFA. That's kind of, you know, granted, you know, he probably agrees with what he's saying, everyone probably agrees with what he's saying. It's a tough, real tough one.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not standing here and saying that I know the answer. We have had a text on the text line 0447519170, and I'll give this one to you, Liam. But someone's texted in, no name, and they've asked, "Will Port Adelaide be any good after making all those moves in the off season?" We did just go on a Jack Rewatts rant for about 3 or 4 minutes before,
and that was half joking, half serious, but just. It kind of reminds me a bit like the Brisbane Lions in the 2009.
Yep.
When they got Xavier Clark, Matt Maguire, Brendan Vivola. I think they got someone else. I can't remember.
Yep.
It's
tough. Shotgun approach.
A few of these players got delisted.
Yeah.
Like Lindsay Thomas is an absolute Lindsay Thomas shock. Is
an interesting one.
Trent McKenzie, I think, will be a good player. I think he was stiff to get delisted at Gold Coast.
Tom Rockliffe, big tick for me.
I forgot about Rockliffe.
Yeah. Stephen Motlop, big tick for me.
Stephen Motlop's inconsistent.
I reckon he's got that potential to break a game open. I reckon that's what Port Adelaide need. So, do you see them going up or down?
It's one of those things I can see him finishing first, but I can see him not making finals.
I'm going to say they're going to finish. There's a few teams in this bracket, but I reckon they'll finish eighth after what will be considered an underwhelming season.
I think losing Trent Grove might be a big issue, especially in the back line for them. But I think give it a shot. I give them a top four finish.
Top four finish. Yep. Oh, cool.
So remind me that next week, and I'll give them like six, and they'll be like, "You said top four."
We're going to move on to some cricket talk because there's obviously the test going on over South Africa.
I thought there was like a brawl for all.
Yeah, it could be confused with MMA at the moment.
And we'll talk about some classier cricket afterwards with the women.
Great.
They can handle cricket better.
Kagiso Rabada has been handed down a 2-match suspension. A lot of people are of the belief that it was for the one incident. He clipped Steve Smith after he got him out, after a pretty big send-off. But it was an accumulation of other incidences. So he had demerit points and all these other kind of penalties that had built up, and now it's a 2-match suspension. So Kagiso Rabada won't be playing in the rest of the series.
Which is a massive loss considering how well he played.
11 wickets. Yeah. And
man of the match.
How old do you reckon Rabada would be? Because he's
21.
21. We looked it
up last on Monday.
Scary good how high the ceiling is. And what a shame that he's out of the series, because I think he's probably the most exciting player, bar AB de Villiers and maybe Mitch Stark of the last test. And now, unfortunately, the rest of the series will be marred by the fact that, well, let's say Australia win, it'll be, they won, but Kagiso Rabada wasn't playing.
Oh, the result means nothing.
Mm.
After what's happened the first two tests, the result means nothing.
Yeah.
No one cares who wins.
I think it's unfair to say no one cares who wins, but I feel like the it's almost the result's not as important now. It's just
I did say last time, I kind of went on a bit of a rant saying, you know, when you see like big footballers get into some off field issues, you're like, oh, they're massively testosterone filled men.
Yeah.
You know, this is what they do. Not excusing it, but these guys are cricketers.
Yeah.
Like, they're not quote unquote tough people.
Mm-hmm.
They bowl and bat. No, I did have a bit of rant saying, you know, these guys trying to act like macho men here.
Yeah.
And all they do is play cricket. Yeah. Like, imagine walking up to a girl in a nightclub saying, yeah, got 37 off 50 balls.
Oh, I don't know. If I played cricket, I'd probably do that.
I would. I'll try my luck, but still.
Classic. Michael Holding, the West Indies legendary bowler, has called for the use of red cards and yellow cards to be introduced to enforce or to maybe stop these ugly send-offs happening. What are your thoughts? Do you reckon it could be introduced and it might tone down some of these wacky and silly send-offs and ugly sledging that we're seeing in the game?
I wouldn't say red card.
Mm.
Like, I know a lot of sports want a red card.
What about a yellow card? So 15 minutes off, you're not allowed to bowl for the next 5 overs, something like that. Red card if something crazy happens and they're not allowed on for the rest of the day, but...
It's real. Cricket's a sport that doesn't like change.
True.
Kind of like soccer. Soccer doesn't really like change either.
But I think with the crowds that we've been seeing in South Africa, I think cricket needs to change because, unfortunately, it looks...
Very poor.
What is probably the premier test... this would probably be the second most exciting test series behind the Ashes, is pulling in zero interest from locals in South Africa.
Yeah, pretty much. I think the rugby's on as well over there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the Super Rugby's on, so they might be gaining all the attention. But I look at it. I do look at it, and I'm like, would you want a red card, the player being sent off? Is that a good look for cricket?
I think so.
You think it is?
I think there is zero... no one can be held... apart from after the game, when the ICC match referee comes in and gives bans, then they can get told off. But at the moment, the players are just getting off with whatever they want to do. But let's do our rapid-fire wrap-up, as we do every week. And I'll kick off the first one with my sport, the Kookaburras, wrapping up the Aslan Shah tournament undefeated on Friday night. They beat England 2-1.
Saturday night.
There you go. You're more of a hockey fan than I am. And then they obviously are gearing up now for the Commonwealth Games, which will be Captain Mark Knowles' final tournament for the Kookaburras.
Yes. And in NBA news, the Spurs are outside the eight. Could they miss the eight for the first time in 18 seasons?
I think
18 seasons, yeah.
Yeah. In the cricket, the women's absolutely thumped India in the first ODI. They beat them in 33 overs with 8 wickets in hand. And Nicole Bolton was the star of the show, knocking 100 runs. And she'll be looking to continue her good form tomorrow as they take on India in the second game.
So a controversy-free series. It's good to see.
It's very good to see.
In the NRL,
yep.
Billy Slater about to play 300 games. He's a 2-time premiership player, 2011 Dalian medalist. And I think very unprofessional by, I think, everyone at the sports desk last week to not acknowledge Jonathan Thurston playing 300th game.
Oh.
Now, I did 3 shows. I did not pick it up. And that's very unprofessional, probably on my behalf. Should at least pick that up.
I'll cop that as well. Yeah. I'm not very across the NRL. Simon Patmore has won a gold medal in the Winter Paralympics in snowboarding, which is fantastic to see.
First Olympic in 16 years.
Oh, wow, really?
Yes, definitely did not look that up today, and that was I knew that.
And also Melissa Perini and Christian Geiger won bronze in the alpine skiing.
Yes, Melbourne Victory defeated Kawasaki 1-0 overnight in the Asia Cup, while Sydney FC drew 1-1 with Kashima Antler.
Antlers? Kashima Antlers, yeah. Antlers. But that knocks Sydney out.
And the Melbourne Victory are still alive.
Interesting. And our last little bit of news is that Melbourne United will take on Adelaide 36ers on Friday night in Game 1 of the NBL Championships at home at Hisense Arena. So let's hope Melbourne United can win their first championship.
I have said that. Well, they've won as the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
They are the same team, aren't they?
Well, yeah, for the sake of my point before, that's what I was going with, but you know what I mean.
Isn't it a fascinating fact that the last team to win, apart from New Zealand and Perth, was the South Melbourne Dragons, who aren't a team anymore?
There you go.
Fun fact of the day. Not really, I've said that 50 times.
to say goodbye, we have had one last text from Ben, if it's our producer Ben, but... crowds are a debacle. Thoughts on Warner coming out for Renshaw, considering he's one demerit point away from suspension. Very interesting point, Ben. I would almost probably put Bancroft out. I know he scored a 30 and a 50, I think, in the last match. But I
can tell you now that's not our producer, Ben.
It isn't, Ben. There you go.
Because we spoke about that, and I think he kind of disagreed with me, because I said they should rest Warner since their China game suspended.
There you go.
But
well,
no, I think that's a great idea to put
Warner out.
Well, just put Renshaw in.
Yeah, he's just been smashing so many
runs. I don't know who's getting screwed more. Ben Simmons with the All-Stars early on, Shannon Noll with coming second, and I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, or Renshaw not making the Australian team.
Great. That's all we have time for on the sports yesterday. You can re-listen to it on any of your podcasting apps.
If you have any more questions, you can message us on Twitter at Sin Sport Desk, and I'll be answering all your questions.
Fantastic.
Oh, wait. That was Ben.
It was Ben.
It was. I was just going to mention saying, Liam, you sexy beast, that was me. Thank you, Ben,
for that, Ben, as well.
Thanks,
Ben. Thanks for tuning in. You had me for a second thinking in there that we reached a greater population of Bens, but
yes.
If your name is Ben, please send us a text, and you're not Ben Bascuzzi. No, we're babbling on. We've gone over time. Make sure you tune in on Friday as they preview another huge weekend of sport with Neve and Michael. Thank you, Liam. Been a pleasure.